Kevin! Ugh!
No, he's not Kevin anymore! Now, he is an indestructible, mindless, killing machine! Just watch this.
The Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for 5Ks, 10Ks, half or full marathons. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email or audio files at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com.
Welcome to episode 139 of the Extra Mile Podcast. How is everybody? It's been a while, huh? I've been rather busy with summer stuff, kids stuff. Also been working rather diligently on another podcast I do that I'm guessing most of you know about or listen to, but anyway, how have you all been, huh? It's about 80 degrees today in Cincinnati, noontime, very, very slight breeze, and hopefully my little windsock thingamabob is blocking most of that. Humidity is relatively low, so although there's not a cloud in the sky, it's making this run a little bit more pleasant and doable. I'm out doing a 1 minute run, 30 second walk today. Backed it down a little bit from a minute and a half run, just because, number one, I knew I was going to be recording. Number two, I thought it was a little bit more humid than this. Anyway, so much for that. My training is going okay. Once again, pretty much nothing on the horizon until December. I did start something a couple of weeks ago. Most of you know, I think, that I was on vacation a few weeks ago. And while I was on vacation, I did no running. I did a boatload of walking. But I just wanted to heal everything up from the jarring, you know, running-wise. And when I got back, I told myself that I thought I would at least try some of Jeff Galloway's advice, which is once you hit age 45, I think it is, doesn't matter, I know it's in the 40s somewhere and I'm past that, that you should back down to running every other day, you know. Unless you're Superman. And I'm not Superman. I'm not even Ant-Man, by the way. So, when I got back from vacation, I started that, and I've done a really good job at sticking to that. I think maybe once in the last 2 weeks, I've broken that rule, and it really just had to do with, you know, the fact that I knew if I didn't run one day, there was no chance I was going to get to run the next, and, you know, just the whole logistics thing. And still would rather run 2 days in a row than take off 2 days in a row. So anyway, I've been doing that for the past 2-3 weeks, and I think it's helped me. I have fewer little aches and pains. It's been too hot to walk here on my lunch hour, so my total steps on my Fitbit are pretty much way down, but that's okay. They'll pick back up when fall gets here. They'll pick back up. I'm also trying to lift weights twice a week, and although it's only been a couple of weeks, I've been pretty decent about doing that. I just don't love lifting weights like I do running. Of course, I have friends who are just the opposite. They love lifting and have to do that every day and despise any sort of cardio, running or anything else. So anyway, different strokes, huh? Be nice if I could keep this up for a while and see how things go. By the way, while I'm at it, and I'm talking about doing cardio and lifting, I thought I'd put a plug in for one of my favorite books. You've probably heard me talk about it again, but I think listeners come and go around here, and some of you may not have heard me plug this book, but it's called Younger Next Year. It's by a retired attorney, and he teams up with a doctor. The attorney's name is Chris Crowley, and you can get it in paperback. Actually, for you ladies, he did a version just for ladies as well. I never thought that the first book, Younger Next Year, was necessarily aimed at men. I thought it was pretty generic, but I'm sure that I'm wrong. I think he came out with one called Running Next Year for Women. Creative, huh? Anyway, I would definitely recommend that. And as another shameless plug, if you're interested in getting a flavor for that book before you actually buy it, go back and search, and I'll try to remember to put it in the show notes. Go back and search the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition for episode 7B, like boy, from way back in 2011. Yeah, I don't know the month, but I know it was episode 7B. And I was fortunate enough to track that author down, Chris Crowley. And we had a great conversation on the phone about that book. It's all good news, by the way. It's very hard-hitting, you know? He just says, sorry if you don't like to lift weights. Just shut up and do it. There's no way around it. You know, things like that, that kind of flavor. His eating advice, by the way, can be summed up in 3 words. Don't eat crap. Now, all of us have gone on different diets, probably spent lots of money on diet books, but at the end of the day, that really is what it's all about. Just don't eat crap. Anyway, there's my shameless plug. I think you'd enjoy it. So in this episode, we'll catch up with some regular extra milers, some newbies, and also one or two extra milers who have stayed away far too long. And certainly hope they stop all that and keep it up a little bit more regular, huh? Some of them are training for marathons or half marathons or just life, huh? So let's check it out, and you and I will chat at the end. By the way, before we get started, today's first submission is from my buddy Carlos. And just as a hint, if you would like to send a submission and make sure that you lead the show off and you're in that coveted number one spot, you might want to take a little advice from Carlos and add some Beatles in your submission. That always works. Check it out. We'll speak at the end, and y'all enjoy your extra mile. Hello, Kevin, and all the extra milers. This is Carlos, out on a Thursday, filming a video and looking forward to the creative process.
For this moment to arise. So now I know I can get to the golf clubhouse drinking fountain in 30 minutes or thereabouts. So if I ever want to do an hour run, this would be the one to replicate. Today is recycling day. Luckily, the truck just turned off on Schoolar Place. Up ahead is Mount Douglas, my other playground for running. Up, up, up. So, across the playing field, across the footbridge, and through Felton Trail, and I'm back in Lambert Park. So this is the running jackal, running across the playing field.
You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
Hey Kevin, and all you extra milers, this is Katie from Houston, Texas, formerly of Princeton, New Jersey. How is everybody? Just listened to episode 137, as you can probably tell, out on the long run. It was great to hear so many voices. Many I haven't heard in a while, which made me think, I haven't really called in lately either. So, everything's going well. It's really hot down here during the summer, for sure. So every time I go out and run, I come home weighing a few pounds more because my clothing is so wet. But otherwise, it's good. It's very flat. I'm trying to find a way to get some hills. There's a small parking garage nearby. So probably every other week or so, I'm able to get over there and run up and down in the parking garage. But we'll see how that works. So racing, I haven't had any races, I don't think, since the Houston Marathon. But this coming season, fall and winter, I'm actually registered for more than I think I ever have in terms of distance and a short period. I'm running the Marine Corps Marathon in October. I ran that previously. I don't know if it was 2008 or 2009, but I've run that. And then I'm running, of course, the Jeff Galloway 13.1 in December. Hoping to run it again, Kevin, with you and Jim and many other extra milers. And then I'm running the Disney half in January with my eldest and my aunt and her son and a good friend and her son, and all of our kids are the same age. So we're all 16. I guess my daughter will be 17 when that happens, but anyway, they're all the same age. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then the next weekend, I come home to Houston and I run the Houston Marathon. So it's a lot of racing for me, especially in such a short window of time. So I'm starting to think about getting the training calendar in place. I need to get re-engaged with Jeff because I think I'm definitely going to need a plan for this one. Anyway, I think that's it. So great to hear everybody's updates. And Kevin, I hope you're feeling well and are able to get back out there and run at full speed. All right, everybody, enjoy your summer. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Bye.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. It's Deborah. I'm in Superbowl, Texas. I'm not out on a run or a walk. I'm actually driving to work. That's what I'm calling. So my training is a little bit weird these days in that it's not so much training, walking, running, biking, as it is very quickly painting the house and fixing up the house and running around and doing errands. So my partner and I have been together almost 16 years. We have two children together, and we're not married. And we are waiting any day for the Supreme Court to pass down a ruling that basically will say whether we can get married, and specifically whether we can be married in Texas, where we live, obviously. And so we've been talking long term that we would get married like in January if that happened. And then, let me say, my wife and I, my partner and I, are not impulsive people. We are plan things out, take a lot of time, think through the options. However, suddenly we've become impulsive, and I said, hey, if SOTUS rules, what if we get married on July 4th? And my partner said, no, that'd be too soon, but how about 2 weeks later? So we've gone from, oh, maybe we'll get married in January, to if SOTUS rules, let's get married July 19th. And let's have the reception at our house. And hey, if we're having a reception at our house, we need to repaint, we need to fix these 9 things that are wrong with it. We should probably get new kitchen countertops and a backsplash. And, you know, you can imagine, and that's in addition to all the sort of normal wedding things we need to take, and we need clothing, and we need to possibly figure out where we're going to go for a trip a few days afterwards, and we can watch our kids, and where we can kennel dogs, and, you know, all that stuff. And in the meantime, I'm working full-time, and she works evenings, and it's all very busy, and it's all very awesome and wonderful. And basically, that is my workout right now. That is my training. I am training for a wedding in less than a month. So maybe the next time I call in, I'll give you a report on that and how it's going and all that sort of thing. And I hope that y'all are enjoying your extra mile, whatever you may be training for. Bye, y'all.
Hello, Kevin and all you extra milers. Rather than a race report or a training update, I'd like to call and introduce myself. This is David from southeastern Massachusetts. I'm inspired by long-time contributors like Steve Runner from Fitipidations, Chris from Massachusetts, Peter from Yeovil, Great Britain, Kevin from Ohio, JD from South Central, and my other extra mile friends from Iowa, California, Pennsylvania, Florida, Tennessee, and the Jackal from British Columbia. But as much as I'm inspired by you longtime contributors, today I'm motivated to contribute and submit because in the last Extra Mile episode that I listened to, I was really happy to hear from new contributors from both Wales and Australia, and I just love having a worldwide community that I can call my running friends. So I'm David from southeastern Massachusetts. I live closer to Providence, Rhode Island than I do to Boston, but we're in Massachusetts, kind of in a rural horse farm area in the south coast, in the kind of the lowlands and wetlands and swamplands of southeastern Massachusetts. I'm a middle-aged, middle-of-the-pack runner. I'm a father of two teenagers, and they certainly keep us busy and on our toes. I like to mix it up, so I'm not just a runner. I get out on my road bike, a little bit of mountain biking. But if you ask anyone, really, I'm a runner, and that's the thing that I would say identifies me more than any of my other recreational activities. I've been running consistently for most of the last 4 years and listening to The Extra Mile for about 3 years. And I have to say thank you because this winter you were all my running partners as I trained for my first 50K trail race, which I did in April, the week after everybody else finished Boston. You know, as the weather was poor and conditions were less than ideal, it was often hard to find someone who might want to come out and join me for a run. And every time I went out, no matter what the weather conditions were like, you guys were there with me, and I could listen and hear your updates. And I have to say that I'm really grateful for how consistent people are when they make their submissions. You know, it may be just a little thing, and you may just be from south of Council Bluffs, Iowa, but I like hearing about your updates and hearing about the Wabash Trail, I think, and heading out for a run or a bike ride. And actually, I have to admit, I also was tripped up by your April Fool's prank, and hopefully now you're recovering from your injury. So I guess I'm mostly calling in to introduce myself and say hello. I will share training updates. I've got a marathon in my calendar at the beginning of November, and really hoping that with a little bit of training, I can improve over my past performances. I am 1-for-2 in previous marathon finishes. So I want to say congratulations again to Steve Runner for his 10 years of Fitbitations. I've had many a smile on my face as I ran listening with Steve. And thank you all for your ongoing contributions. Kevin, keep up the great work and keep these Extra Mile podcasts coming. I'll be glad to call in and participate. Again, this is David from Southeastern Massachusetts. And enjoy your next Extra Mile.
Greetings, everyone. This is Derek Ralston again from Oroville, California, back with something that I missed. Have you ever been out on a run and some perfectly good thought comes into your mind, or the answer to a question just pops into your head, and by the time you get through to the end of the run, you forgot what you were thinking about? Yep, that's me. I can listen to most podcasts on the run and then turn around and listen to them again because I don't retain most anything that's happening while I'm out on the run. My brain just shuts down. That's why I have been begging for a manufacturer to come out with a GPS that I can program the distance I want to run, the pace I want to run, and it would tell me from the location that I'm at now what pace I need to run to finish at the pace that I select. Magellan tried it and failed miserably, so Garmin, step up to the plate, because my brain quits working on the run. Well, that's what happened. I was out running and listening to one of the episodes of the Extra Mile podcast, and lo and behold, I heard somebody call out my name and ask a question. By the end of the run, I'd forgotten what it was, and I went back to my iPod to look, and the run was so long that I had gone through a couple of episodes, and after I listened to them, it has them automatically deleted, so I didn't even know what episode number it was. So after doing a whole bunch of digging, I found out that it was Jim from the Seeker podcast wanting to know what kind of EQ I use on my recordings. Well, Jim, and anybody else who's interested, I posted a picture and a brief description of most of the equipment that I use in the studio over on my webpage at marathonjourney.com. It takes a whole bunch of equipment to make my voice sound the way it does from the time that it leaves my mouth until the time that it hits your ears. But the important thing is, like running, it's not the equipment that you have or the speed that you do it at. It's just important that you get out and do it. Pick up your iPhone, pick up your computer, your digital voice recorder, whatever it is you happen to have, even the telephone, record a submission and send it in here to the Extra Mile. We'd love to hear from you. I need somebody else to encourage me on my run. I'm probably going to listen to you a couple of times because I'm going to forget what you said the first time and have to come back and listen to it again. But you won't be able to listen to anything unless you open up that door, put one foot in front of the other. If you do that, I'll be out running with you out there on the road.
Greetings, Kevin and fellow Extra Mile podcast listeners. This is Jim from south of Council Bluffs, Iowa, checking in. It is, it's Tuesday. Got to look at the other watch. June 30th. Last day of June, 2015. Checking in, like I said, Last time I checked in, I was at the turnaround on a bike ride, and I was lamenting my recovery from a sore knee. And getting back to where I need to be, where I want to be, I should say. I don't need to be anywhere, but where I want to be. Usually this time of year, I'm doing 3 10-mile runs. And today was a 9-miler, so slowly working my way back up to those 3 10-mile runs. Still a little gingerly in terms of running, a little bit of a ache every now and then in the right knee, but it seems to just go away, and then everything seems to be okay. So today was a 9-miler, and really the first time I really, on the last mile, I opened it up a little bit, and I thought, let's just see. And so it was an 8:15 for mile 9, which is the fastest mile I've run in quite a while, because of this tender right knee. But in time, things get better, and you know, I don't know if my my days of any miles down in the sevens, they may be over with, but as you get older, that's what happens. I turned 64 last week, so celebrating my 40th year of running. Listen to Kevin Unplugged this morning, his latest, and he mentioned that Jeff Galloway had suggested that when you hit the age of 45, that a guy maybe ought to run every other day. Imagine that. Good advice from Jeff Galloway. What would you expect? But yeah, you know, I not because anybody gave me any advice, but I guess I figured it out on my own a long time ago that you know, every other day is just fine. And Kevin is supplementing his off day by getting on the elliptical, which is fine. You know, that non-impact stuff. I supplement my every other day with the bike. And then in my convoluted way of thinking, every day is a rest day. When I bike, it's a rest day from running. When I run, it's a rest day from the bike. So every day is a rest day. And I'm still getting all my cardiovascular, getting my calorie burns in, and still being able to run after 40 years. So, and that's the plan. You know, it's just like I tell people, I'm just training for life. I'm training to get old. Anyway, I thought I would check in again about the time this hits Kevin. He's down in the Caribbean somewhere. I don't understand why somebody would go to the Caribbean in the summertime, but anybody that, you know, is a Ohio State fan, that's the kind of a guy that would go to the Caribbean in the summertime. What can I say? Kevin, come on. But anyway, that's my report. Short as it is, boring as it is, same as it always is. Until next time, everybody take care, train safe, train smart. In the summertime, make sure you hydrate, you know, yada, yada, yada. You know, do like I say, don't do like I do, you know, just kind of what your parents would tell you. So take care. I'm out of here. Check in again. We'll see ya. Bye.
Hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Tom calling from Carrboro, North Carolina, with an update. Haven't called in a while, and basically, it's just a summer training season for me. I do not have any races planned or scheduled until the Richmond Marathon in mid-November, but I'm still doing a lot of activities as I normally do during the summertime. I run with my friends usually on Mondays and Thursdays, and I have introduced them to shorter walk breaks for some of them, and they've really kind of enjoyed it during the hot weather season. We've done 30-30s and 1:30s and 45-30s. So I guess it's the summer. I call it the summer of the shorter interval. I am also doing stuff with the track workout or the track meet that meets during the summer called Godiva, and enjoying that. And also, I just started last month my training for my marathon with the Raleigh Galloway group, and they have introduced officially shorter intervals. And I'm in an 11:30 pace group, and we are doing 1:30 intervals. So basically, I'll see if I might schedule some races between now and my marathon. But whether I do or not, we'll see. Thank you.
Damn. All right, what are we doing here? Headset. All right, I'm recording. Come on, dog, let's pick up the pace. I'm getting eaten alive. So I'm taking my my dog for a walk here in the late afternoon, early evening. Buddy the Wonder Dog, Buddy the Old Wonder Dog. I can't run him much anymore, so I try to get up and walk him. Sort of an escape valve for him. You know, border collies, if you don't do something with them, they either get depressed or they explode because the pressure builds up. Especially Buddy, he's been running for... How long have you been running with me, dog? 12 years? 13 years? He's still in pretty good shape, but I started noticing that, you know, when we go hard, you know, earlier this year, I noticed that when we go hard, you know, maybe 5-6 miles, he'd be getting up slow the next day, and his, you know, his hips had hurt him. So I've dialed him back. I take him out. If the weather's really cooperating, maybe I'll take him out for a slow 5-miler, but usually I just try to throw in a, you know, a 2-mile loop before my runs, my trail runs, take him, then drop him at the house and do that. And otherwise, I gotta take him for a walk like this. But this is the worst time of day. He decided he wanted to be in the woods. I was gonna walk around the neighborhood. This is the worst. He's eating pine trees. I don't know why he likes to eat pine trees. Worst time of day to walk in the woods because it's thick with mosquitoes. Mosquitoes the size of fruit bats. So I'm having to, here I'm breathing hard, I'm walking up a hill, having to trot along fairly crisply in my walking cadence. But I'm not working out today. Today's a rest day. Yeah, why is today a rest day? Well, this is Chris, by the way. You guys know me. I'm not working out today because I raced yesterday. I raced an Olympic distance triathlon, which is, come on, dog, a mile swim, 22-mile bike ride, followed by a 10K, and I did okay. I mean, I've never done one before, so I was walking in with a PR, but I was talking with my coach beforehand. I go, yeah, I've never done one of these. How long is this going to take me? And I looked up the last triathlon I did was probably 5 years ago, and to see, you know, what my times were. And I think I did it in like, I don't know, an hour and 15 minutes, a sprint try, which is basically half the distance, right? And I was like, well, you know, if that takes me an hour 15, coach, this is going to take me like 2 hours and 30 minutes, right? And he's like, yeah, the math doesn't work that way. It's not like you can say, you know, I ran an hour and a half marathon, so therefore I'm going to run a 3-hour marathon. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't scale linearly. It scales differently. So anyhow, that was my... So I set my expectation to be, you know, somewhere around, I don't know, 246, somewhere around there. You know, give myself a little bit of grace. And that includes your transition time, because you got to get from the swim into your bike stuff onto your bike, and then from your bike into your run stuff. And I ended up doing really well. I was particularly happy with the swim. I felt great. I mean, I was out of the water in 29 minutes, which is slow for, you know, for triathletes, but pretty peppy for an old guy like me. So bike didn't go so well. Run was it was manageable. I mean, it was all right. The only, you know, you feel like you're running in cement when you get off the bike. That's the only issue. So the whole, you know, the run just stinks the entire time. It's painful. But, yeah, so there you go. new PR. The only way I could not PR would be to DNF. And although I have DNF'd before, actually I've DNF'd probably four times. I bailed on two marathons, which were loop courses where I was trying to qualify and I wasn't going to make my time, so I just got off the course so I could reschedule and try again in a couple weeks. And that makes people mad sometimes. And then I DNF'd two mountain bike ultras due to broken bicycles halfway through the race. So I don't have a big history of walking off the course because of some sort of physical duress. So yeah, there wasn't much chance of that unless my bike broke, which it did. It broke three times. I dropped the chain off my my old bike three times. And I felt like a bit of a poser with my old rusty old bike there and all these guys with their super duper techno bikes. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Feel super fit, and you know, especially coming off the heart procedure. Hey, you found some water. Good boy. All right. Oh, don't lay down in that. Well, all right. Go ahead. It's hot out. So yeah, feel pretty good about that. Olympic try. Oh, did I say? Yeah, I came in at 235-ish with 5-ish minutes of transition. So yeah, not so bad. Not so bad for an old guy. All right, man. Hope everybody's doing well. Don't forget to challenge yourself. Try new things. Cheers.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Pax from Alberta, Canada. Finally checking in again, feeling a little bit like the prodigal. And finally back here to give a report. It's been a year since my last and actually only submission so far. I had good intentions, but you know how it goes sometimes. So quick update, since last July, I ran my first full marathon in September. I finished, but it didn't go as well as I was hoping it would. I went into it on 3 days and nights of sleep deprivation and really extremely poor nutrition. As I was shooting, as in click-click camera, a two-day horse show, and didn't have an assistant with me, and that had me going from very early to extremely late with only grabbing a bite here and there and a sip of water when I had the chance. I then drove the 3.5 hours on the morning of the race to be there for the 8 o'clock gun. So not a good start. But I ran the first half really well, which included a 2-mile, 600-foot hill. But by mile 17, I knew I was fighting off some trouble. I was hot, and I hadn't taken in enough electrolytes and hadn't had enough water hydration over the previous days, and I could feel some tightness in my right hamstring and my right calf. I tried to baby it a little bit, but I was still running okay. And on and out and back, a fellow that had left me fairly early in the race, in fact on the big hill, he was probably 2.5 to 3 miles in front of me at about my mile 17. And then a little bit later down the road, I came around a corner at about, oh, I'd say mile 121 or 22, and saw him not a half a mile in front of me. And the thought went through my mind, if I just keep doing what I'm doing, I'll catch him. And lo and behold, by mile 24, I did catch him. And after a bit of running, he slowed to take a walk break, and I made the mistake and slowed down with him. Should have kept going. Second I slowed, that twingy hamstring seized right up. I mean, it felt like it became about half its original length. And my leg was all curled up, and I was in so much pain, I almost fell over. And he left me there to quit and die. But after about 5 or so minutes, I got my leg straightened out and started to hobble, and that turned into a shuffle, and then finally loosened up, and I got back into a run. And by the time I got to the finish line, I had almost caught him a second time. But I did finish. I got my medal put around my neck. I was pretty happy to have completed my full marathon. As soon as I got done the race, though, my hamstring seized right up on me again, and the food tent was non-existent. I mean, there was only water. And so I was appalled. I couldn't believe it. There was nothing there to help relieve and get something in my system that would help relieve this tightness. And so I made my way to a convenience store and I bought a gallon of orange juice and something nice and salty. And immediately I started feeling some relief, but I had thoughts of never again, and thoughts like, why the heck did I pay to put myself through this? But within 20 minutes, as I was chatting with my wife, it had turned into a, well, next year I'll do, and anyway, Mrs. Bax thought I was nuts. Anyway, since then I've been training, and I finally have understood the science and biology behind why training 80% of your time easy and 20% hard is so beneficial, and I have been implementing that since about last mid-October. My mileage is way up. In fact, in 2 days from now, I will have run more miles already in 2015 than I did in all of 2014, which was just under 1,300 miles. I find that the benefits of this easy training have been more miles with less wear and tear on the body. I'm expending so much less energy and effort. I'm way more efficient with the use of the energy. I'm running faster paces with much lower heart rates. I mean, the same training runs that I do now compared to those same runs back in last fall are being run at heart rates of, on the average, between 25 and 35 beats per minute slower than they were. And my paces for all my runs have quickened. I was astounded when I took a look at this data from my Garmin over those months. But my pace has quickened by an average of 2 minutes and 26 seconds per mile overall, all of my runs, with an average heart rate that's identical, and my max heart rate during all of these runs has lowered by 13 beats a minute. And I'm hardly ever extending that. And anyway, I'm really loving this. So anyway, now into my training. I was lucky enough to train and help coach my daughter-in-law, one of my daughter-in-laws, to help her to get to her first marathon, or half marathon, actually. The day was quite a perfect day, and we just had a blast. I pushed her a little harder than we'd done during some of our training, as I expected to, and I told her I was going to. And we finished that marathon very well. She finished really strong and finished 12 minutes faster than the 2 hours and 30 minute marathon, half marathon she was hoping for. And so she ended up with a very hard, fast sprint. And she really got into the game of catching the guy in front of us and the person in front of us. And we passed lots of people in those last few miles. And I really enjoyed myself. I had so much energy to cheer her on, and I'd jump and dance and high-five the spectators and cheer her on, and that rubbed off on her, and we just had a lot of fun. And now I'm training for a few full marathons, my first being in late August up in Edmonton. And I usually get in a couple of runs every day, with most of my runs being in that 10K distance or a little longer. And with my long runs happening on a Saturday, this coming Saturday's long run will be 20 miles. And I sure hope it's cool, because my poor thick Canadian blood doesn't like the heat. Anyway, that's it for me. I was just listening to episode 138 on last night's run and again this morning, and I just really have enjoyed listening to you guys and everybody that responds and calls in regularly. So I will answer the question. My resting heart rate falls in at usually around 47 and sometimes down to as low as 43. And so that's where my resting heart rate is. I'm going to try to be more frequent with my reports. I think I can do better than once a year. But in the meantime, I say lace them up and go play hard, because life's too short to not take that time to do that. So this is Pax from Alberta, Canada, saying, if you can't be good, well, be good at it. See you later.
Kevin, this is Ron from the Lost Trail Runner podcast. Wanted to give you a Peachtree Road Race update, which you know was run on July 4th in downtown Atlanta from Lenox Mall to Piedmont Park down Peachtree Street. I had made a mistake the day before. A person asked me how many times it had rained on me when I've run the Peachtree Road Race. And I said, in 37 years of running Peachtree, I had never been rained on before. And that was like a curse, because yesterday morning, my daughter Laura and myself parked at Ainslie Mall to walk over to catch the MARTA train to the start. And it started raining as soon as we started walking over there. And it's about a mile and a half walk probably to the Art Center station from Ainslie Mall parking lot, which is where Jeff Galloway's Pheidippides has the after Peachtree party. That's why we parked there. But anyway, we got over to the train station and we were a little bit later than we normally are. And the train pulls into the station and is completely packed already. And there's a zillion people waiting at the Art Center station to get on the train to go to the start line. So most people just kind of stood there and looked at this train when the doors opened up. And I just kind of squeezed in, and Laura tried to get me to get back out. She said there wasn't enough room. And I said, there's always enough room. It's just like sardines. We got on the train and made it up to the Lenox Square MARTA station and walked over the start line. And while we waited for the race to start, now that I've slid back to group H because of old age and slowness, instead of the used to be, I started around 7:35, but with the wave starts now, my wave started at 8:05. It didn't rain the whole time we were waiting for the start, as far as, you know, pouring down, it would sprinkle a little bit and it kind of slack off. But as soon as we got down to the start line and started running, it started raining, and it rained all the way to the finish line and beyond. Piedmont Park, when you get that many people stomping around on the grass, it doesn't take long for it to turn into a mud fest. But anyway, I ran the race in 66:28 was my official time. I used a run 45, walk 15 pattern the whole race, because that's what I do now, being 73. I think that's a 10:34 average. Wasn't too bad for a run walk for a 10K race. But anyway, finished, and I went over at the Atlanta Track Club reception area where they have an area set up for the members. And I went over there and waited for Laura to show up, because she was in, I think she was two groups behind me. And she showed up, and she finished in 1:16, which she was happy with, because she felt like she wasn't in that good a shape. So I had a 1:06, she had a 1:16. From there, we walked over back over to Ainslie Mall, which is another mile and a half maybe, to the after Peachtree party that Pheidippides puts on. And you had instructed me to say hi to Jeff Galloway for you. So I saw Jeff and I told him that I was instructed by you to say hi to him, and I did. And we had about a probably close to a 10-minute talk. He had a lot of nice things to say about you, plus we discussed some run walk patterns. And I had told him that I did the whole race in a 45:15. That's usually what I've been using for the half marathons. And he suggested that maybe I switch to a 30-15, and he said I may pick up my speed. So I'm going to try that next time. But anyway, I did as you instructed, and I talked to Jeff. I just wanted to let you know. Had a good race, got drenched, got cold for Atlanta during the summer on July 4th, getting cold or something. So I'll see you later. Bye.
Hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Carlos running on the Felton Trail, heading back towards Lambert Park. This is a early weekday run. I'm planning to do 10 kilometers today. Probably an hour and 10 minutes, something like that. Anyway, I've set myself 7 minutes per kilometer pace. Hello, runner coming through. Thank you. Little startled toy poodle. And an equally startled old lady. I did my best. Just a quick shout out to my friends at the Extra Mile. I know that some of you are involved with the Zen Data plan, and I'm hoping to contribute on a daily basis, either a video or an audio submission, probably around 3 minutes max. I hope the weather is conducive to your training at the moment. We're having a very pleasant respite from very muggy, very hot weather. Now we're getting what feels more like spring weather, 16 to 18 Celsius, with puffy clouds, Simpson-esque clouds. So, without dragging this on too much further, I will say goodbye to Kevin and the whole RunNet community. From Victoria, BC, Canada, I say goodbye.
Hey, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Deborah calling from Pflugerville. I'm calling with another not so much training report, although I am out on a lovely Tuesday morning walk. I think the last time I called in, I was talking about the possibility of getting married and also doing stuff to fix up our house on like a 3-week timeline. And so I thought I should go on that, which is, we did all of that, and it was fantastic and beautiful and wonderful. I got married on Sunday, 2 days ago, and it was just great. A lot of people, a lot of friends, a lot of family, like, stepped up and did stuff that we didn't expect. My father was able to come. He traveled from Pennsylvania, and my stepmother, who's 91, traveled from North Carolina, and my sister came from Colorado, and my other sister's family from Houston, and my brother actually threw us a rehearsal dinner, kind of like on a week's notice, and some of my wife, I was best friend partner, but wife's family came. Her sister's been staying with us for the last 4 days. She's actually just about to pack up her car and head home. And it was just wonderful and beautiful. Really everything you know, but quite honestly, I never, ever dreamed that, because when I was a child, I didn't believe I'd get married. And when I was a teenager, I was sure I'd never get married. And here it is. And it's just absolutely miraculous to me. We have a ceremony at this beautiful chapel, that's an outdoor chapel that overlooks the hill country. And then we had a party at our house. Let me say this about, you ever host a wedding party, I highly recommend renting a bouncy house. We rented a bouncy house for the little kids, and we rented a bouncy slip and slide that everybody could go in, kids, adults, anybody, and it was an absolute hit. To have a party that also flowed outside in Texas in the middle of the afternoon in July, sort of crazy, but bouncy slip and slide, that is the way to go. It was absolutely riotous fun for everybody who went on it, and we had it the whole day. So after everybody had gone home, our family, the two of us and our two kids, went out and played on it before bedtime, you know, until the guy came to take it away. So it was fantastic. It was wonderful. I turned in the license yesterday at the county, and I am certified married. So anyway, I thought I would share that all with all my friends, and that's that. It's really an extreme joy. I hope you are as well. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Episode 139 of the Extra Mile Podcast. More good stuff, you know. I'm really surprised, considering it's the pretty much middle of the summer. Maybe on the downside, but still very hot. And how many of you are training for halves and fulls? Good on ya. Which reminds me, if you haven't done so, please, if you're training for something, send me that information and I'll add it to the Extra Mile Podcast community calendar. And the rest of us can see what you're doing. I think I could probably fill up the community calendar with just what Katie's got planned for the next few months. Holy cow! Nice job, Katie. I absolutely loved the update from David from Southeast Massachusetts. And although it was his first, David, please, not your last, buddy, okay? Don't listen to PAX, man. I'm just kidding, giving you crap, PAX. Welcome back. And while I'm talking to PAX, that's some amazing results, brother. Using a 20% hard, 80% easy training method. But my question is, what the heck does that mean? How about an update with a little more specifics of that, huh? You're doing speed work once a week? You're doing quarters, halves, mile repeats? What are you doing? In any case, let us know and keep it up, man. I wanted to also tell Ron, thanks for telling Jeff hi for me at the party after the peach tree. I am so jealous. Every year when you send me your peach tree submission, that race has a special place in my heart. And someday I'm going back. And you and I are running that one together. And before I let you go, Ron, you mentioned you had a 10-minute conversation with Jeff. I want to point that out, too, and to the rest of the listeners. If you can ever get to any of the races Jeff goes to, the guy will talk to you as long as you want and give you any sort of advice you're looking for. So check out where he's going to be. And I would say, if you are at all interested in the run, walk, run method, meet Jeff and have a conversation with him. Also, Ron, please let me know how that 30-15 goes for you, huh? Hopefully, maybe you and I can chat about it this year at the podcast meetup at the Jeff Galloway 13.1. I hope you're going to do it this year. I know you did the virtual. I hope you're all going to do it this year. What the heck? And back to the conversation with Carlos. Carlos mentioned very briefly something called Zenveda. I think you all ought to check it out, because it sounds like a lot of fun. The Zen, of course, represents our buddy Zen runner Adam Tinkoff, because he's the brains behind this little endeavor. The Veda stands for vlog every day in August. So, I'm sure it's August while you're listening to this. Head over to zenveda.net and check that whole thing out. You can also search for Zenveda on Facebook. There's a Facebook group over there as well you're going to want to get involved with. Basically what it is quite a few people who are going to add content for the month of August. Many will be videos. Some will be audio submissions, like a short little podcast. And the topics will be all over the board. But the cool thing about this is that virtually everybody who submits, everybody who you watch or listen to during this month, is a fellow runner. Might even see one or two videos of mine over there, and you'll get an idea of why I have a face for audio podcasting. So check it out. I'll put the link in the show notes for that as well. And lastly, I'd like to get serious with you for just a second, because I have a serious question. What value does this podcast have to you? Seriously. Let's put that another way. Would you pay anything to listen to this podcast? Would you pay $1,000 to listen to it? If so, please stop what you're doing and call me now. How about a buck? Would you pay a buck to listen to it? How about 50 cents or a quarter? Maybe a nickel? Well, don't worry. I am not going to make this a for-pay operation here. Here's my point. From time to time, I would like to ask each of you to support a fellow extra miler. I'd like each of you to stop and think from time to time about some amazing causes that your friends are running for right now. And if by chance you have any, you see any value in this podcast, I'd like you to send it to your friend. Even if it's a quarter, even if it's a nickel, just send it to them. You know? Whatever value you see in that episode, send it to them. And I have a perfect example. Check this out.
Okay, selfie stick. I'm going to do one of these. It's a panoramic. Blair Witch. Yeah, so we got a storm going. Out running in the woods, obviously. Here's some crows in the background. I just flushed a big coyote because the storm's making so much noise. He didn't hear me coming, and I surprised him in the path, and he took off. All I could see was his haunches screaming down the trail. But anyhow, let's find some good light. Here's some good light. Here's some good light. There's me. I don't know. Kind of tired today. I'm an hour and 35 minutes in. Middle of a storm. But I want to talk to you about, you know what I'm doing out here in the storm? Running for 2 hours in the storm? I'm fighting cancer. I need your help. I'm going to run the Hood to Coast Relay this the end of August. And I need your help. I need you to throw some coinage in my direction so we can, you know, because think all the stuff that we've done in the last few years, all the amazing things. I mean, they went into my heart without having to crack me open and fix my heart. You know, that's amazing. It's amazing. They couldn't do that 10 years ago. That's research, right? So, you know, let's throw some more coin at it. My little bit of funding is probably more demonstration than an impactful thing, but I do what I can. I think it's important. So, you know, I can think of, you know, a dozen people I know, maybe it's my age group, that have suffered some form of cancer, and some of them didn't make it, and some of them are fighting it now, and some of them are in recovery. And I think, you know, we get the opportunity to do something. We get the opportunity to do something, you and I. So I'll put the link on the video, and please consider helping me out. Thanks.
Chris Russell is not just another extra miler. He's our friend, and he's doing something pretty darn amazing. So, as a friend, I'd like to ask, take whatever value you see in this podcast for this episode and send it to Chris. I will add the donation page that Chris has put together for his Hood to Coast Relay Cancer Research Charity. And just so you know, I went over to that page. It takes about 30 seconds to send Chris a buck or two. And maybe in the little notes where you're able to send Chris a little message, tell him how awesome he is and thank him for the value that he adds to this podcast, huh? So that'll do it for this episode. Thanks for the last hour or so of your life. Thanks for everyone who submitted. Seriously, couldn't do it without you guys. And until next time, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast.